Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, we're at the midweek point, Wednesday, January 30th, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey. Steve, in just a moment, we'll check in from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And if you're listening to us through our podcast, thanks for the download. And by the way, subscribe if you haven't done that yet to our Steve Jones Show podcast. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. Hit subscribe. Shows will drop right to your smartphone and tablet. And you also have access to 3 months of previous shows. We've got them on our website at stevejonesshow.com. With you live till 5. And of course, WKOK, your home for Super Bowl 53. The countdown continues. We're now 4 days to Sunday. 1 hour pregame coming up tonight from Westwood One, and every weeknight at 10, leading up to the big game Sunday night between the Rams and Patriots. Live coverage on Super Sunday will start here on WKOK at 2 and the kickoff at 6:30 from the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta. And we do have some NFL notes to share with you. Earlier today in Atlanta, it was the annual State of the League press conference with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. He says it's never been a better time to be in the NFL.
This season has demonstrated that there's never been a better time to be part of the NFL. As a fan, as a player, as a team, or as a partner. Our game is getting better and better, and our engagement and popularity is unmatched in today's media landscape.
And following the Super Bowl this Sunday, the NFL will be celebrating a 100-year milestone in a city where American milestones took place.
Next year, we will celebrate 100 seasons of professional football, a game that brings people together. As we approach this milestone, it is only fitting that we are here in Atlanta, a city of milestones, a city of progress. Atlanta is a pillar of the civil rights movement, the birthplace of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and the home of civil rights icons like Congressman John Lewis and Ambassador Andrew Young. We are proud to devote much of this week to honoring that legacy.
Also during the State of the League address this morning from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, he understands why fans are frustrated with the NFC Championship game no call, and he wants to prevent it from happening again.
We understand the frustration of the fans. I've talked to Coach Payton, the team, the players. We understand the frustration that they feel right now, and we certainly want to address that. Whenever an officiating is part of any kind of discussion post-game, it's never a good outcome for us. We know that, our clubs know that, our officials know that. But we also know our officials are human, We also know that they're officiating a game that moves very quickly and have to make snap decisions under difficult circumstances. And they're not going to get it right every time. As I say, they're human. We have worked very hard to bring technology in to try to make sure we could do whatever's possible to address those issues. But technology is not going to solve all those issues. The game is not officiated by robots. It's not going to be. But we have to continue to go down that path.
Also this morning, Goodell says there have been some discussions for expanding instant replay.
We will look again at instant replay. There have been a variety of proposals over the last, frankly, 15, 20 years of should replay be expanded. It does not cover judgment calls. This was a judgment call. The other complication is that it was a no call. And our coaches and clubs have been very resistant, and there has not been support to date about having a replay official or somebody in New York throw a flag when there's no flag.
Some of the comments this morning from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, the State of the League press conference.
Well, I think he's correct, but the last part he's correct about. I mean, you just can't make it up as you go. All right? And, you know, the two guys primarily involved in this, there's no getting around it. They flat out blew it. And I've said this once to you, I've said it to you many times, and the audience knows I've said this many times. The hard calls, the really great officials have the ability to make the hard calls. I get bothered in officiating when they miss the easy calls or they guess. Right? They could talk about the New Orleans play all you want. But to me, just as egregious was the roughing the passer call against Kansas City when Chris Jones hit the shoulder pad of Tom Brady throwing the ball. Guess what? You guessed. If Cleet Blakeman's sitting right here, I'm going to tell you right now, you guessed and you assumed he hit his helmet or his face mask. Because in watching the play live, I mean, when they said it was roughing the passer, I said, for what? I got his shoulder hit. Then I looked at the replay, and like, yeah, all he hit was his shoulder. I thought maybe he must have grazed the face mask, the helmet. Oh, no. That's not what happened. It happened the way I saw it to start with. He was being blocked in the play, and he hit his shoulder pad. Well, how can officials sit there and say, no, I saw it? No, you didn't see it. You did not see it. And I think that is bothersome. That bothers me is that when you guess. Now, on the Saints thing, it's even more bothersome, okay, because they claim they didn't see it. Like, what do you mean you claim you didn't see it? It's right there in front of you. There's two of you. It's one thing about Cleet Blakeman making the call. He's behind you. He guesses. He guessed. I don't care what he says. He guessed. All right? So now he guesses. Okay. And he gets it wrong. And so now he goes out and he gets it wrong. Okay. In the New Orleans play, you have not one guy, but two guys who are responsible for that receiver on that play, and they flat out blow it. I believe in the conference championship games, these are not complete crews. These happen to be all-star crews, just like it'll be in the Super Bowl. So these are supposedly two of the best in the business. That's okay. At their spot, they would be, let's be conservative here, they would be among the top six at their position in the NFL, right? Two conference championship games and a Super Bowl. So they'd each be among the top six or the top three at their position, but, you know, in the rotation of six guys. So they're in the top three at their position in the NFL. So you've got quality guys there that have made a lot of tough calls throughout the course of the year, right? And I'm, look, if Sean Payton can make a bad call by putting Taysom Hill in the game and running a wildcat, and what you're like, oh, you took Drew Brees off the field. If Sean Payton can make a bad call on trying to throw on first down in that sequence, right, which in my opinion, each time he did, if Drew Brees can make a bad read, if a Saints offensive lineman can miss a block that then causes Drew Brees to be hit and then throw an interception in overtime, those are all mistakes, which are all under the realm of human error, correct? If Andy Reid can make what, in my opinion, was a bad judgment call on deferring on the opening toss and putting the worst defense in the playoffs still remaining on the field to start the game and have Patrick Mahomes watch it, okay? Those are all judgment calls and bad calls. You got to live with it. Okay, and it's the same thing when it comes to this. I am not for, now what I am for is this. This is where I think the NFL needs to take a cue from college football. This is where they need to take a cue from college football. What they did on the Saints play was egregious in that they missed the pass interference. But what else happened on that play, Sean, that should be reviewable?
Helmet to helmet.
Exactly. Okay? That should be allowed. Was it a helmet to helmet hit? And New York, I think, or I'm not for New York doing this. I think every stadium in the NFL should have all replay equipment. This is a $15 billion industry. They should have all replay equipment. They don't have to go to centralized New York to do all of this. Do it there. Just like I feel Major League Baseball. Let's go to New York and check. No, Major League Baseball is a $9 billion a year industry. Have each ballpark set up with equipment, people that can run it, and a fifth umpire. Speed it up. Speed it up.
I think one of the more frustrating things out of all this is the main camera angle that we see. It looks like the cameraman is right there just off to the side in front of the end zone, and the camera is aiming back toward the two players. The ball is literally coming toward the camera, and who do you see off in the distance? Probably right off to Drew Brees' right is the referee, and it all boils down to that. It's like what's he seeing? What's the line judge seeing?
Okay, it's the two guys on the sideline. It's their call. It is not Bill Vinovich's call standing back behind Drew Brees. He's looking to see if Brees is going to get roughed. Potentially, is he out of the pocket if he's throwing the ball away? Is there holding? His responsibility in that play is back there.
It makes you wonder, though, what's going through Vinovich's mind if he's get a clear shot of the play. And granted, it is at full speed. The more you look at it, it is a bang-bang call.
Except he's probably looking to see if Brees is hit late. He's watching that. He's not watching the ball. He shouldn't be. His job is actually to look at Drew Brees. Actually, at that point, his job as the official actually to protect him. It's like Tom Brady, and except Brady's got eight guys. No, I'm just kidding. Goff, I mean, that's the job of the referee. I mean, they're looking at that point. That's why Blakeman will tell you, I'm trying to protect the quarterback. Hit in the shoulder, man. And not only that, he got hit in the left shoulder. It's not even his throwing shoulder. I mean, he guessed on that. And I've told, how many times have I said on the show, Sean, okay, if you're missing the easy calls, you've got a huge problem. If you're guessing, you've got a huge problem. Only call what you see. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all
applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
But on top of it, they canceled the Maroon 5 press conference.
I'll tell you.
No, we got breaking entertainment news. I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, they canceled it.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
I thought the entertainment, the halftime entertainment presser was more later in the week. I could have sworn that it probably wasn't
been
the
canceled.
Same day as Goodell's presser.
It's not, but it's been canceled already.
Oh, okay.
They already canceled it. Entertainment press conference?
Gone.
The one nobody cares?
Gone.
So I'm talking to Dick Girardi today. Right in the middle of talking to him on the phone. I don't know. We talked about 20, 30 minutes. All right. He says to me, oh, great. I said, what? What do you mean, oh, great? What's wrong? He says, ah, our power just went out. Great. I'm driving over. Okay. First of all, we had a snow squall roll through here this morning in State College.
Yeah, we did too.
Where it was an absolute whiteout. I'm going down the entrance onto I-99. I'm looking around saying, this isn't good. I can see the car in front of me. Then I stopped having the ability to see the car in front of me. And that's when I said, I think if we had to slow down, because I don't want to suddenly like see the car in front of me. So I slowed down there a little bit. In fact, a lot. Just to make sure. Well, I'm driving over here, and the temperature here was 5 degrees. It's 5. Wind chill, and then I looked it up. Wind chill 23 below. Let's see, where are we right now? Ding, 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 ding. I mean, look, everybody's going through this, so this is not a... I mean, we're all living this one together. You know what? I guess I don't have my weather on the radio station computer. Ask me why I don't. I don't know. That's because I've got 1,000 other ways of looking at it.
Currently 9 here in Sunbury, and we've got an AccuWeather real feel of -8.
You guys are pikers, man.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I mean, we're here. We got a little... Here it's a little colder than that.
Yeah, I had a squall out in front of my place about 10 or so this morning. I waited a little later than normal to hit the highway, wait for the squall to get through.
No, it's 3 degrees here.
Ah.
Here in State College, it is 3 degrees. The wind chill right now, or as they put it, the real feel is 27 below zero.
Robust. Oh, right around that, -27 or so? That was the actual temperature out in Minnesota yesterday, last night.
I know. Now, I'm going to Chicago on Sunday. It's supposed to be in the 40s. It's going to be a 70-degree temperature change for them because they're going to be 25 below tonight in Chicago. They say Sunday is supposed to be 45 degrees. That's a 70-degree temperature change.
Yow.
I mean, we're going to land at the airport, and people are all going to be out there in cargo shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah, here in the Valley, just got to get through Friday. And actually, we should be back up in the 40s by the end of the week, by the end of the weekend. Yeah,
we're in the 40s on Sunday here.
Yeah.
3 degrees. Oh, look, a wind chill advisory. Really? Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Stay tuned to WKOK and also check online at WKOK.com for the latest closings, cancellations, and weather. Now, we can give you one right away. Penn State will be dismissing classes and activities at 4:30 this afternoon. They've all been canceled. Students will be dismissed at 4:30 today at Penn State. Faculty and non-essential staff will be released 30 minutes after that at 5, which for the vast majority of them is the time they're supposed to go home anyway. But he may have an evening work and whatever. Staggering departure times in this manner helps facilities to remain open until students are able to return to their residence halls or off-campus residence. Also reduces roadway construction. Okay. Congestion, excuse me. Only employees identified as performing essential services should stay beyond the official release time. See, this always becomes, Sean, to me, for certain employees, a depressing moment where in, you are told in reality you just aren't essential.
I could have sworn I was just essential.
I mean, now, while I think that what I do is really important to the apparatus of the university, right? They can barely function without me. I've just been told, no, you really, you ought to go home. Now, tomorrow, Penn State tomorrow, in addition to the cancellation of classes and activities, faculty and staff should not report tomorrow unless previously identified as performing essential services, like being the play-by-play guy. That's an essential service. There's a game tomorrow. We're doing it. So, and there should be a game tomorrow. University officials will continue to monitor forecasts and on-campus conditions. They'll have updates as necessary. But again, as of right now, they're dismissing Penn State classes in less than an hour at 4:30. Staff will then be released at 5, faculty at 5. Tomorrow, faculty and staff should not report to work unless previously identified as performing essential services. There are no classes tomorrow at Penn State. Okay?
Yeah, Purdue, the team would arrive in town tonight, right?
Yes, they come in tonight.
Yeah.
Look, the game's on TV tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's not... Penn State's the Lady Lion basketball game at Michigan State, though, has been postponed until February 27th. That's already been put in play. The Lady Lions were playing at Michigan State, and that has been moved to February 27th.
I did get a chuckle last night. I was watching Michigan-Ohio State on the four-letter, and the PA announcer in Ann Arbor announced at Chrysler Arena, no classes Wednesday and Thursday in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
And the kids were going crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty bad out there yesterday. Normally the kids would have to wait outside for an hour or so before they'd let them in, but they just let them in yesterday. They wouldn't be staying out in the cold so long.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's an unusual situation. Yeah, you have to be smart about it. And so that's what they're trying to do. They're going to have one of our colleagues, Belinda Tyson, who's one of the great people here. They're supposed to have a retirement party tomorrow. Postponed to Friday. Come on, Belinda. Oh, well. So that's what they're doing here. Now I want to get to something that's really, really nice. Hey, we always hear about all the negative things all the time, right? Really even starts internally in our own office with one guy. But there are many people who drive their broadcast partner to quitting. So
or to Florida.
Yeah, I'm going to Florida. But the season's not over yet.
Is this nice story about the guy out in KDKA Pittsburgh, the
no.
guy who was in charge of the graphics
no.
who posted
known no.
cheater under Tom
no, no,
Brady's
no.
name on Sunday, got fired?
No.
Now he
no.
now is a GoFundMe page.
Yeah, we'll get him.
I guess he realized, oh wait, I got a mortgage payment.
Right.
Should have thought of that on Sunday.
This is 180 of that.
Good.
Right. One of the things I try to teach in class, it's not just about broadcasting, but also like other little mini lessons along the way. I always tell them along the way, look, remember, just because you might be, quote, better known than other people, everybody's the same. I said, so make sure that you know, you treat everybody as well as possible along the way, you know, because you want to have respect for who they are, what they do. And I often bring up, hey, get to know who the janitor is. Guess who? The janitor is busting their backside all the time, and their same goal in life. And I tell the classes, their goal in life is to do exactly what your goal in life is. Can I keep my family afloat? Can I pay my bills? Can I pay my mortgage? Can I pay my rent? Whatever it may be. I said, and they're working as hard as they can. They're working probably harder than you are. Okay? Brandon Cooks, wide receiver, Los Angeles Rams, surprised the team's janitor, identified only as Alfonso, and they're doing so for privacy reasons, identified only as Alfonso, with two tickets to the Super Bowl to thank him for what he does for the team on an everyday basis. Cooks admits he's not particularly close to him, but he said he appreciates everything Alfonso does and he wanted to show him. I just thought it would be special for him to understand that this is a team and that he is part of that as well. And I wanted to make sure that he is at the Super Bowl with his son to enjoy it. Now you're asking, okay, Alfonso's got the two tickets. How's he getting there? Well, that's also a part of this deal. Brandon Cooks already has him two airline tickets. He got him a hotel, and they're set for the weekend. So when you watch number 12 for the Rams out there, who, by the way, is coming off his fourth straight 1,000-yard receiving season, just remember, he's the guy that looked at the janitor and said, you know what? That dude works hard. We're at the Super Bowl. He should be there, too. He's part of the team. Now, that's a guy to root for. I think that is an incredible story. That tells you everything about Brandon Cooks. That is just... He said, look, this guy keeps our facility in tip-top shape. I wanted to make sure he was taken care of. So with all the negative stories out there, which, by the way, are unfortunately so easy to find, you've got that story. Let's say you had a company, for example, where there's one guy who continually puts out fires for the company. That person should be saluted, don't you think, Sean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Credit where credit's due.
Ah, boy, I miss Harry. All right, so...
So is Kyle.
So does Roger. Yes. Let's go right to the top of the food chain. But, I mean, see, that's I think that's awesome. That's the kind of story I'm going to tell to my class. Not this Monday, because I'm in Chicago Monday. So a week from Monday when I have them back again. That's the kind of story I'm going to tell them. Because that is... Brandon Cooks makes a lot of money. He's in the Super Bowl. He's garnering a lot of fame out of all this. And he looked at a guy who... bust his backside every day to make the facility clean, neat, to make it better for everybody else. Because obviously this guy has great pride in his job and loves working for the Rams. It doesn't matter what his label is. He's not wide receiver, but he's janitor. Well, guess what? The wide receiver making a ton of money made sure the janitor, who is as good at his job as the wide receiver is as his, make sure that he was a part of it and is going to the Super Bowl. I think that's phenomenal. You know, with the old joke that has always been out there about the garbage man, right? There's to quote sanitation engineers. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, you see how hard the sanitation engineer works? How much lifting the sanitation engineer has to do all the time, in the conditions they have to do it in all the time. I appreciate them. I think it's just great when you can appreciate people around you. Right. And that's what, you know, if you notice, how many times have I talked about Sean in the show about how much I appreciate my man here. My man makes this whole thing go. He gets nothing extra from me to do it, but still, I mean... But my man here makes it go. I to me, that's... I see a story like that. There are far more stories about stuff like that than the TV employee at KDK who got fired over the Brady known cheater graphic. Well, did you see the latest Alabama hire? The man that was the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma until about a month ago, Mike Stoops, Bob Stoops' brother, hired as an analyst in an off-the-field position at Alabama. After Oklahoma lost to Texas 48-45, Stoops was fired. Oh, boy. Whereas at one point he was the head coach at Arizona. Let's see. A guy that is not involved in any of the Super Bowl stuff, out of sight, out of mind, that would be Josh Gordon. And... and Maroon 5 will not have a press conference. This is your area. Maroon 5 gets no press conference, man.
That's all right. Save their energy for Sunday night's performance.
Well, there's a reason behind all this. And
I will say, going into the Super Bowl, it was one of the worst-kept secrets that they would be performing at this halftime show. Normally, it stays under wraps for a while. Sometimes, there were some years the NFL wouldn't announce it until Thanksgiving Day or later in the season. But there was rumblings about this even before the regular season started.
But you know what?
I think they're running out of options for halftime.
I think, to be honest with you... There was a point in time where the Super Bowl halftime show, I think, was a great crossover to get casual fans involved and enjoy it. And they had one great act after another that would be on at halftime. But sometimes something comes and goes. Its time has passed. To me, I think its time has passed. I think it's time to go back to a standard 12, or if you do it because of the Super Bowl, 15-minute halftime. And I think the time has come and gone on that. We're going to do something on Super Bowl prop bets later in the week. We're just going to have fun with it. By the way, who did this survey? Wall Street Journal did the survey. Say Tony Romo made 72 predictions on the air this season on plays. He got 68% of them right. It's pretty good. That is not bad at all. Come back. We'll tell you a little bit about some of the history of Super Bowl prop betting. And we'll come back with more on that on News Radio 1070 WKOK. What was the first ever Super Bowl prop bet? It was actually a pretty famous play. The first ever Super Bowl prop bet. Look, the Bears were a huge favorite over the New England Patriots. Huge favorite. Super Bowl 20. And, of course, the Bears did exactly what they're supposed to do. They blew them out. Well, they decided to make it more fun for the gambler. It was 20-1 odds that William the Refrigerator Perry would score a touchdown. How about that? And, it, of course, it hit. Let's see. I'm trying to think. What's the first place to do it? It was... Bum, 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 bum. Caesars did it first, and as soon as they put the bet up, MGM followed. Then they started doing crazier things as time went on. Who will score more points? Michael Jordan or the 49ers? The Niners won their game over the Broncos and put 55 up in the Superdome. And Jordan had an off night and only had 39. But it was popular. From 84 to 97, 11 of the 14 Super Bowls were decided by 13 points or more. So they said they had to get interest. They had to, because of so many one-sided games, they said, well, let's do this. Here's one for you. Here's one of your favorites. Steelers and Cowboys. The prop bet involved Cordell Stewart. Would he have a passing attempt, a rushing attempt, and a reception? He caught a pass early in the game. He then ran. And then he lined up in the shotgun, rolled right, pumped his arm, and then pulled the ball down and ran. Uh-oh. Philly special involved Nick Foles scoring a touchdown. This year, on a regular season game between the Chiefs and the Rams, who combined for 105 points, every over prop bet hit. There are 440 prop bets, which we'll go over some of them on Friday and have some fun. We're only going to have fun with it. Because, as you know, I don't gamble a dime. Never. You can bet on almost anything on the Super Bowl Sunday. And Tom Brady's total passing yards involving and then versus stars like James Harden and Russell Westbrook. How many times Donald Trump will tweet during the game. Nevada regulations limit Vegas sportsbooks to props where the outcome is decided on the field. So, in other words, the Trump bet would not be on there. The NFL's not crazy about this. Okay. Last year, Nevada's 198 sportsbooks reported a record $158.6 million wagered on the Super Bowl. Experts predict that record will be shattered this year, and with eight states now offering sports betting, including Pennsylvania, they say that in New Jersey and Pennsylvania alone, they project with the eight states, that number is going to go beyond $300 million. They estimate close to 60% of last year's total in Las Vegas was wagered on prop bets, making it responsible for $90 million of the $158. They say that without prop betting, wagering on the Super Bowl would decline dramatically. And according to the story, the person they want to thank above all is William, the Refrigerator Perry, who made it all get rolling and started. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.